Good morning. Today is Thursday, April the 19th, in the middle of, it's not Easter break, it's spring break.
Spring break, yes. We divide between the February break and the end of the school year, go right in the middle.
Oh, so it's always this week.
It is, yes, or right close. Next year, I think it just happens to be Easter, since Easter's late next year, but
that's okay.
This year it's not tied to it.
It's easier for simple minds to remember certain things.
Yes, yes.
Yes, it's, you lost the Easter egg break.
We did.
But you found it.
Right.
So it's
right.
A little late.
Yeah,
we're
just delayed.
There you go.
In the egg break.
Yes. Joining us this morning is Eureka City Schools Super Duper Fred Van Fleck. Some of the different challenges I would think there are out. How do you systemically go through the process of maintenance, whether it's ongoing or something like a roof, which, you know, hopefully somebody's not up on every roof every week. You got the lawn mowing one end. You've got 40-year life replacement on another end. You got computers, all these things. Do you just have a ton of different tables floating around and timelines all over the place on a big wall that says, okay, this year we have to replace X number of computers. We have to do these roofs. We have to do, how do you coordinate all that stuff?
Well, we have what's called a master facility plan. And so you mentioned a couple of different things there. There's the maintenance factor of landscaping, and we all know what our lawns are doing right now. And so we don't increase our staffing this time of year. So be patient with us as we get to all of our lawns, because shoot, it seems like you just mow them and then you turn around a week later and you have to mow them again. And it's the curse of the fertilizer too. You know, we do fertilize our lawns, and think about that. That's kind of a catch 22. Sure makes them look a lot nicer, but it sure makes them grow a lot quicker too. So,
well, I like the duck blind that you got going over.
Yeah,
that really is impressive.
You know, when I drove by that this morning, I said, you know, Brian is going to mention this.
What'd it take, about a minute and a half in?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah. Well, particularly with the bloom of the weeds in there now, too, and the pollen spreading.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, hence my reference to it's difficult to get around to get all the lawn mowing, because realistically, lawns need to be mowed more than once a week right now if you do fertilize, and that's what we've been doing.
And so, water. I mean, you guys do both.
Yeah, we do. We've been doing the natural water here recently, though.
Yeah, so. No kidding.
But so that's the easy part, is the maintenance stuff, and I wouldn't say easy, but the easy part to cover. But when you get into the routine repair stuff, such as roofs, buildings, dry rot that happens, any type of moisture penetration of any sort like that, that's really done more on a work order system. And so we've got our maintenance staff and custodial staff always out there being aware of the conditions of our facilities. And so
they kind of like wander the campus, so to speak, just kind of looking around to see?
I wouldn't call it wandering the campus, but I'd call it in the course of their duties.
Okay.
They will notice things that are not quite correct.
Wandering implied with purpose, not lost.
Yes, we do the wandering. And candidly, we do some wandering. And that wandering is done in a formal, what's called a facility inspection, and then also a custodial inspection. We have a team that goes around a couple times per year at each of the sites and inspects the facilities as far as how's our custodians doing, how's the routine repair and maintenance going, are there any issues that we need to work on, are there any things that we need to put on the long-term plan, and that's how we get things on a long-term plan, is really based on those visits and what needs to be taken care of.
Do the principals do that all? I'm not looking to kneecap anyone on this, but you know, if my job is to do X, that's where I'm looking. Well, and if there's X, Y, and Z, and I'm not say for example, I got grounds, so I'm looking at the ground, but there are windows that are up off the ground. Well, if I'm looking at the ground, I'm not looking at the windows. I'm sure as heck not looking at the roof, because those aren't my areas that I'm being tasked with to look at. You know, so to have different people with different reference points, or then wandering around and just kind of looking at everything, or going behind a building instead of just on the front of it, and things like that, that, you know, there's no trail back there, nobody goes back there, except, you know, it's part of the building to look at.
So the great thing about the job description of our principals is they've got this little thing toward the end of their contract that says other duties as assigned. And guess what? This certainly falls under that. They're an active part of the facility walk around. They walk around with the team that's looking at the facilities and the custodial, and they actually evaluate their custodians. And so the principals are the supervisors of the custodians on their sites, and then they work in conjunction with our director of transportation and operations, and that's who actually oversees all the custodians but is not the evaluator of the custodians. That really falls on the principal. So they definitely do take an active part in that and really work with them. And I'll tell you what's really difficult right now is finding people that want to be custodians. And we just have a real shortage of a lot of our classified folks. And it's going to be interesting to see how our economy kind of equalizes here with the cannabis legalization and the fleeing in the hills and all of that that's going on that we all know about right now. And if that's going to have a positive impact on our workforce, we're certainly hopeful that it will. But it's yet to be seen.
It'll be interesting to see the relocation of those who have been in that industry. Yesterday, Mark Lovelace was on, and he said, you know, there's over 1 million square feet under glass in Monterey County that used to be growing flowers, and now it's not. It's growing something else. Well, they need bodies, right?
Right,
you know,
right.
If they're looking for experienced bodies. So I think that's part of that shift also. It's not just the economics of it, but it's the workforce.
Right, right.
And whether or not they can afford to live there.
Right, right.
Different, whole different things that are going on. I would suspect if you weren't calling it a custodian, because we all went through school and that meant broom pusher, if it was something else and really more illustrative of the job, it might change some people's personalities and perspectives.
It could.
It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Fred Van Fleck. Fred, the concept of maintenance, there is, most times when we hear maintenance, we hear deferred maintenance. You know, it's like a hyphenated phrase.
Well, we actually have two funding mechanisms that we invest in, and one is routine repair and maintenance, and the other one is deferred maintenance. And those are actually two separate funds for us.
Funds as in budget allocation?
Yes.
Or funding coming down from the state, and here's a bag of cash for regular maintenance and here, or routine, and here's a bag for deferred maintenance?
No, that's our internal budgeting mechanisms. And they're actually, we have separate, when I say funds, that means that there is a separate budgeting pot of money, if you will, for those.
We can use allocation. I'm not that base.
Okay.
So how do you determine the percentages then?
As far as the percentage of the budget?
We've got maintenance. Okay, let's say it's 10%.
3%.
Okay, let's say it's 3%.
Yes.
Okay, now of that, do you cut it down the middle? Do you go 2/3, 1/3? How do you assign that?
Deferred maintenance alone is 3%.
Okay.
Routine repair and maintenance is a little bit more variable. The deferred maintenance is the more expensive of the two.
Well, sure.
Yes.
I mean, if you have a 20-year cough out for a roof,
right,
you can't do that 5% every year.
Correct. Correct. And roof, you know, when you think roof in a school, think the cost of a house just about, which is just incredibly insane. But that's just the reality of school construction.
Yeah, we've we'll be experiencing that one shortly. Yeah, you just kind of go, okay, fine. But you make sure it lasts long enough so you don't have to do it again.
Correct, correct.
Can you do that with school? You know, you guys have got this funding mechanism called a bond. Okay, and if it's a 30-year bond, I would think that projects up to 30 years would qualify in expected life.
Sure.
Okay, if it's an expected 50 years, okay, that makes sense. What really doesn't make sense is it's a 5-year life, and we're going to pay for it over 30 years.
That's absolutely correct. So a couple things I want to make sure I clarified. Routine repair and maintenance and deferred maintenance are generally not paid for out of bond proceeds. They're paid for out of the general fund.
Which is the state tax dollars coming back?
Correct. It comes through local property tax and then also the state guarantee because, unfortunately, in Humboldt County, our property tax isn't large enough revenue-wise to cover what our state guarantee for funding is. And so the state comes in and makes up the difference between what the local property tax is and what the guaranteed funding is for the school district. The opposite of that would be like if you get down to Palo Alto or someplace like that where they have more property tax than what the state guarantee is, and those are considered what's called basic aid districts, so they get all their revenue locally. So let's not even chase that squirrel too far down the road, but let's go back to the maintenance piece. So we take that funding and we have the deferred maintenance and the routine repair and maintenance, and then we have our facility construction program, which is primarily bond funded. And you brought up a very good point, and that is you don't want to invest bond funds, which are generally for us going to be financed out 30 years because we believe that's what makes the most sense because the life expectancy of a building is 30 years. Portables are less than that, but we have not been purchasing portables in quite some time. And so we don't want to finance that for any longer than what the life expectancy of the building or the modernization would be. A great example was there were some school districts around the state about 10 years ago or so who were financing computers through bonds and doing technology across the district, one-on-one computers for students through bond proceeds and then financing them for 30 years. And wow, you know, the analogy of that would be buying a new car and doing a second on your house for the new car and financing it out 30 years on that second, and then your car is already long and gone and you're still paying for it. And so that's difficult. And
but it's tempting.
It is tempting because those payments can be really low.
Well, and you have school board pressures mm-hmm. and public pressures as their child or grandchild is going through.
Right.
You know,
right.
We'll let the other guys worry about the other guys.
Oh, shoot. I won't be the superintendent in 30 years. What does it matter to me? You know, type mentality.
Right. That's, or you bounce off to another lily pad somewhere in a bigger pond.
Right,
and,
right.
You know,
right,
what you leave right. behind you, yeah, they don't tend to look in the rearview mirror too much.
Right. But I think we have a bigger responsibility to our taxpayers than just that. And I firmly believe that.
So when you are looking at the deferred maintenance for this summertime, are these significant projects that will have extended lives? Are some of those going to be bond funded but also qualify as deferred maintenance? I mean, how do you, or can you separate the projects, or is everything kind of multi-defined?
It would be kind of multi-defined, but it's really a simple multi-define, meaning that if it is a long-term project that has that life expectancy, and that's kind of the test that we do use, is if it's a 30-year project, like for instance, most roofs are in that 30-year range, we do consider using bond proceeds for some of those projects. If it's a project that is not a 30-year expectancy, then we don't use the bond proceeds for that. Because again, we consider the bond proceeds not to be something that is a normal routine thing. Most of the time we consider it to be a major capital investment if we're going to use the bond proceeds.
It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Eureka Superintendent of Schools, Fred Van Fleck. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, American Ag Credit, and by Lolita Cheese Company. Fred, it's kind of interesting as we hear about some of the various, I don't want to say education-related, but it's certainly issues that occur around education. We've got teachers striking in certain areas. We've got, obviously, the campus safety issues in other areas. A lot of attention being paid to education. This gal yesterday that went off about Barbara Bush. Okay, Fresno State. So now we've got all levels kind of in the swirl. I would think if anybody had the thought that we don't pay attention to education, they really got to be out to lunch. Do you get that sense that there's more attention being given, for whatever reason, to education, to the culture of education, to educators, to everything around that topic?
More attention, enough attention, not enough attention. I mean, you could go in so many different directions with this. Even if you just looked at how education is funded, education is the number one budget item in California. Highest budget. As far as anything else, it takes well more money to fund education. And part of that is because just
more than PERS?
Well, you know, that's tied into education along with STIRS, too. And as our
retirement plans for
contributions. For, yeah. Yes. But the thing that's really there is, you know, California is really interesting because California is ranked in per pupil spending on education down around 42, 43 in the number of states. And that's a real surprise for most people because most people see California as on the cutting edge. And if you think that we're funded 42nd or 43rd, that certainly doesn't put us on the cutting edge.
That's per student being educated or per, and I know I'm sure I'll get raked on this one, but per American student.
That is
because we've got the legal illegal issue that's
right.
going
it
on
is
also.
Per student being educated because there is okay. no differentiation in our schools
because you guys can't make that call.
That's correct. We don't check the immigration status of any of our students. In fact, legally we cannot check the immigration status of any of our students in schools.
So contrasted to, let's say, Montana, where there's probably where there is less influence by folks who aren't of the country legally, it's almost apples to zucchinis.
Sure, it could be. It could be.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know off the top of my head that how many students we have here in schools that aren't legal citizens. I don't think anybody knows that because we don't track it. I'm sure there's guesses that are out there, but
yeah, there's some guesstimates that the state has percentages, but whether it's accurate or not.
Think about that for a second. 43rd worst funded in the nation, and yet we have the highest cost of living in California. And that makes for some interesting mixes that are out there because with the highest cost of living, teachers get compensated at a higher rate. On average, our teachers are compensated in the top half of the 50 states, in my opinion, rightfully so, because again, the cost of living that's here in California, but yet we're the 43rd worst funding, so that leaves less space.
Students get squeezed.
Right, exactly. Yeah. It leaves less space for that funding that goes directly to the education of students.
Now, when you hear about more money for education, what percentage actually goes into the classroom versus goes into compensation, whether it's retirement
or
salaries of existing.
But I would be really careful with that one, because I would argue that the salary of a teacher is going directly to the services of a classroom, because a quality teacher is going to have the biggest impact on students. Give a quality teacher
versus a computer or a desk or, you know, classroom supplies, so to speak.
So the average around the state is about 85% of funding in education goes to personnel, whether that's...
So the roofs and the deferred maintenance and stuff we were talking about comes out of the 15% or bond?
Well, even more so. That 15% keeps the lights on, does the deferred maintenance, it does
the business
books, supplies, takes the garbage out. All of those things, that's what that remaining 15% does. And so when I said 3% for deferred maintenance, that's 3% or 85% of our budget, roughly, is personnel. You put another 3% on there for deferred maintenance, so now we're down to that 12% range. I can add, yes, 12% range. And then you start taking lights out of that. Then, and, you know, that's when the squeeze starts to happen. And that's why when you have a budget crisis, personnel is the first to get hit, because it's the lion's share of the budget. But going back to the conversation of funding, it just special education, and I know I'm going in a different direction right now, would probably be the biggest issue that we're facing in California schools right now. And in fact, the state is working on some legislation to fix that funding. In Eureka City Schools, students with disabilities is a huge factor in our budget. So above what we receive in money from the state and federal government for students with disabilities, we contribute an additional $6 million, which is about 60% above what the contribution from the state and federal government is. Another way to look at that is, if you didn't have that, not that we would do this, but if you didn't have that contribution to students with disabilities, rightfully so, I'm just saying that it's not funded correctly, not that they shouldn't be educated this way, it would equate to an 18% across-the-board ongoing increase for all of our employees.
If that was applied to salaries?
If it was applied to salaries, yes.
If it was applied to the maintenance and the non-instructor compensation, it would double, triple?
Well, $6 million equates to roughly 12% of our budget, because we're about a $50 million budget.
So it almost doubled the non-compensation.
Sure. It would,
of the budget.
Yeah, correct. It would, non-personnel pieces, it would pretty much double it, because I said 15% roughly is our non-compensation pieces. So it would certainly have a tremendous impact there.
Do we have a large percentage of the larger than normal percentage of the student body that qualifies, or are the definitions of disabled, have those changed over the years to encompass more students and more recognition of some of the different challenges?
So Humboldt County has a 20% identified student with disability rate, which is the number one percentage-wise county in the state. And so that is higher than ever. And the number one growing area of special education is autism. Autism continues, students identified with autism continues to increase. And then the other groups that are continuing to increase are our pre-K students, the preschool programs. Students become eligible for services at three. Those pre-K programs are growing.
And so that's more of a economic issue, the pre-K.
That's correct. Because, okay, you know, a great example of that is we don't start receiving funding for students in school until they're in TK or kindergarten, transitional kindergarten or kindergarten. Obviously, a three-year-old is not there.
You mean preschool and nursery school? Don't give me
preschool.
Pre-K.
No, TK is TK. The new transitional kindergarten. That's the new one that hits those September through December birth dates.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's regular kindergarten now.
Regular kindergarten.
Yes.
All right. KINS, News and Information Times, 844.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and Fly Humboldt remind you that flying local is buying local and supports local jobs and investment. Fly Humboldt is a community-based coalition of businesses, organizations, and citizens dedicated to getting more flights to more destinations. We know that reliable and affordable air service is a critical part of a healthy community. For more information, visit flyhumboldt.org or find us on Facebook.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Times, 8:49. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Fred Van Fleck. Fred, the stuff we've been talking about, if it gets somebody really excited, I would suggest that there are opportunities for them to volunteer. Do you guys have, like, finance committees or things of that nature, or is it school board or PTA or never mind?
Well, it depends on what level of finance you want to get involved in. Each of our schools have what's called a school site council, and that's the place to really get involved as far as the budgeting that happens at the school sites. And if you're interested in serving on school site council and getting involved in the non-personnel budgeting, because they don't impact the personnel piece, because that's all regulated by contracts and negotiations. All that compensation is there, but the books and supplies and the pieces that come into the classrooms is really on the school level at the school site councils and work in that regard. And it's kind of similar to a mini school board, because those agendas are all posted and everything, and that's a place to get involved at the real local level. And then if you want to be in the bigger picture, of course, the board is the group that regulates how all that funding it goes out and spent.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
On a vacation week.
Yes.
What a trooper.
But it's sunny.
That's right. See everybody tomorrow.